Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I want to clarify something I said in the open, that Ben Roethlisberger, that was two women that he was involved with. Two accusations there, not just one. Because I was talking about Ezekiel Elliott, that's six games. I still would want to argue that you can say this is his first offense. If there's four women and the NFL and the judge agree that something happened with those four women, to me, that would be four separate offenses, not just an umbrella that says, hey, it's just one incident with four different women. Albert Breer has been all over this story. He's also traveling the country going to NFL training camps, which we'll get to. The NFL has 3 days to appeal. What do you think is happening right now and will happen by 9 a.m. on Thursday morning, Albert?
I think there are a lot of league officials that are probably on Twitter right now, like just sort of taking the temperature for like what the public reaction to all this is. Because I don't think that that is – I think that's a very relevant piece of the whole thing. So how's the public reacting? I think that's a piece of it. You know, of course, I think they're going through their own options here. And really, to me, there are three options. Number one – you can pin this on Sue Robinson if you're them. And you can say, we negotiated this process 2 years ago with the union. We respect the process. We don't agree with her view of the facts, but the process was a good one, and we'll stand by what she said. The second option would be you go to 8 or 10 or 12 games, and you say, now this is our decision to do this. We believe there's a little bit more there than Sue Robinson thought. And if they do that, then it becomes their decision. And then the question is that enough? Like, does the public look at an 8 or 10 or 12 game suspension as enough? And then maybe because Deshaun Watson wants closure, he accepts it. The third option is the nuclear option, which is you say, we're going to do what we want to do all along. We're going to give him a year. And then you wind up in court. I think so. And if you wind up in court, that's the other part of this, Dan, that's really interesting is if you wind up in court, that could mean Deshaun Watson plays in the opener.
Yeah.
Because at that point, if he sues, then almost certainly the union would seek a temporary restraining order to stay the suspension. And I think he'd probably get it. And if a court stays the suspension, well, then Deshaun Watson's playing week one against the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, I think the easy route out here for the league is to say, is to pin it on Sue Robinson, because the other two options are taking ownership of the decision. And I think with one option, it's, is it enough? With the other option, it's you're going to war again.
What do you think happens?
You know, for a while, I've thought that they were preparing to leave this alone. And I still believe that. Like, I think that they've set it up in a way, and I've said this to you, like, they've set it up in a way where they can leave it alone because they already got word out there. And you and I talked about it, I think, a few weeks ago, where, like, the judge was clearly upset that so much of this became public, right? Well, why would the league, which is so PR savvy, risk angering a former district court judge?
Yeah.
Like, why would they do that? Well, they would do that because they felt like the thing may not be going their way. And if she makes a decision they don't like, then they would have the recourse to say, we tried. And so I think the easy route out now is to pin this on Robinson and say, this was her decision. This is a new process. We negotiated this with the union. The owners don't want us involved in every piece of this anymore. We're going to respect the process that we set up 2 years ago with the union. To me, that's like the cleanest exit. And I don't think it's a value judgment on what happened with Watson. I think it's just sort of protecting themselves going forward. The other two, I think would be more of a moral play.
Yeah.
And I think the question is, like, do they have the appetite to spend a year in court with another star player and make so many facets of the NFL season about Deshaun Watson? Because I think you and I both know, you remember the year Brady was in court the whole year, like, that would not go away. Like, he'd probably be playing week one. He'd probably play the whole season because the court process takes a while, and it would be a talking point throughout the NFL season.
In a month from now, nobody's going to remember this judge's name. This is going to be on Roger Goodell. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, he either did or he didn't, you know, try to, you know, drop the hammer on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And trying to, you know, they are, you know, PR savvy, but I wonder if you go, hey, we tried, but we have to respect the process here. Now we have to move to change what, you know, the penalties are. Because all she did, if you read the 15 pages, which I know you did, she just used the history. Recent history of punishments here. You bring up Zeke Elliott or you bring up Ben Roethlisberger. She said, yeah, the NFL made your case. You made your case, but, you know, this is what I'm going to give. She can't change the policy, the punishments that you've given, I don't think.
Right.
That's what I was surprised that the NFL thought. She's going to do something on her own, which that's not part of her job, I don't think. It was just, hey, you asked me to look at this. I'm looking at this. This is what I'm recommending. That's it.
Judges operate on precedent, you know, and judges, like, her charge in this whole thing is to make a decision that will allow her to write a brief that is appeal proof. Like, the goal of any judge in a situation like this is to do something that's very fair and down the middle and, like, takes into account everything that's put in front of them and nothing else, right? And then in the end, be able to put something on paper that is going to be very, very hard to challenge. And if you read the opinion, like, if you go into it, it's really interesting, some of the things that are in there. Like, you can see her playing both sides of it, right? Like, one of the most glaring things to me was she both found him responsible for sexual assault and also called it nonviolent. Like, to me, like, that was maybe the most interesting thing. And then she came up with her own definition of sexual assault, which is unwanted sexual contact. Well, is that by definition violent? So, like, there are a lot of things in there where it's like, you can see how she's sort of serving both sides. And I this is just me reading it, Dan. It's really hard, if you look at it, to challenge her process. And that's the one thing everybody here has to remember, right? Is if the NFL appeals this and appeals it to Goodell or his designee, they can't change the facts. The facts are the facts now, right? Like, so you can't go and find 8 more women to talk to and change the facts of this case are the facts of this case. And so like what you'd be doing is you'd be challenging the process that Sue Robinson went through. And if you read that brief, it's actually pretty hard to challenge the process she took to get to the decision that she made.
He's Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter. He's the Monday morning quarterback. Was there a deal in place for Deshaun Watson, at least offered a deal?
Yeah, there was no deal in place, but yeah, there were deals offered. So there were two sets of settlement talks, essentially, one before the hearing, another after the hearing. The first set of settlement talks went absolutely nowhere. The NFL was insistent on at least a year, and they said, if we don't get a year, we're going to seek an indefinite suspension in the hearing. Watson's camp wasn't going to go for a year. That was that. Like, there was just no getting past that. I think when, like, the interesting part of this that never got out, and I think this is fascinating, she actually told the parties in the hearing to expect a ruling the first week of August. So, like, as all of us were like, where's the ruling? Where's the ruling? Like, the people involved actually knew that it was coming when it came. And she delivered it when? On August 1st. So, like, the timing of it was exactly what she said it was going to be. The people who were involved think she gave them that month to try to settle it on their own, which is common with judges, right? Like, give the parties time to figure it out on their own. They did get back to the table. That was the second set of settlement talks. My understanding is the league offered a deal that would have been 12 games, so it would have brought him back for the last five games of the season, and a fine of close to $10 million, which is what he made last year. So if you think about that, that would actually allow the league then to say, well, last year, that was a suspension. So because he got docked all his pay from last year. And so that would have allowed the league, if you think about this from a PR standpoint, to say, we got pretty close to what MLB did to Trevor Bauer, because he's been off the field for a season and then three quarters of another season. And he lost all of that money. So that was their offer. And my understanding is Watson's camp was willing to go to about 6 to 8 games, but not beyond that. And so that's sort of where the divide was at the very end before they let Robinson go ahead and make a ruling here.
Yeah, boy, that's rolling the dice. But it worked out. Because, yeah. You know, training camps, you've been in Green Bay. Thank Bills, Browns, Steelers, Bears, Colts. Let me start in Green Bay. How's morale with Aaron Rodgers this year?
It's so calm there. You know, like, I remember going there last year. I was there day one last year, and it was just everything was hitting the fan. You know what I mean? Like, and I actually sat down and talked with him for about 25 minutes yesterday, and he just seems very at peace with everything, you know, like he just, it's almost like, this is where I'm going to spend the rest of my career. And it feels like he has ownership of the offense. He has some level of ownership of the roster. He's in lockstep. Like, I talked with Brian Gutekunst about how they fixed their relationship last year. He seems like he's in a really good place. And it was interesting because I asked him about what the last year was like, and you know, some of what we went through was the criticism he took, you know, over obviously the vaccine issue. And he said, like, it sort of taught him to try to stop paying attention to everything on the outside. Like, I guess people like me and you, you know what I mean? Like, and just focus on the people who are around him, his allies, the people in the locker room. And it's just sort of simplified his life, which I thought, no matter what you think about what happened with him or whatever else, like, I actually look at it and he was pretty, I think it put him in, like, ultimately wound up putting him in a pretty decent place. Here's the other thing. With Devontae Adams gone, the other thing I talked to him about was how that team is now built sort of the way the Patriots used to build teams around Tom Brady, where they didn't overextend to put skill position players around him, but they're super well-rounded. Dan, that defense looks like it's going to be electric. I mean, they have 7 first-round picks starting on their defense. And I think one thing that's interesting about it is as Aaron gets a little bit older, now because they're really good defensively, they've got a really good running game, they're going to be able to ask less of him, you know? So he doesn't need to be Superman every week. In fact, he told me, like, when I asked him about building the roster, he mentioned, like, the special teams players. He was like, I'm really excited about, I'm not even kidding. Like, he was like, I'm really excited about these guys we have on special teams. He's like, because the last couple of years that's cost us. It was really, really interesting. And it's a very different tone than I've heard from Aaron in the past.
You're in Minnesota. I'm fascinated what was going on with Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins, that you have a coach who I guess didn't like his quarterback. I don't know if the quarterback liked his head coach. And so what changed? Well, you even had the GM of the Vikings saying, hey, we don't have Tom Brady. Like, what is Kirk Cousins, you know, mentality going into this season?
Well, I mean, I think it's got to be like just like any quarterback his age, where to some degree you're like fighting to extend your career. I do think, like, to me, like what's happened in the NFL at quarterback's fascinating. I think you and I have talked about the Mahomesization of the NFL, right? Like how like good might not be good enough anymore. So the Rams trade out Jared Goff to get Matthew Stafford. The Niners try to level up by going Jimmy Garoppolo to Trey Lance. The Browns go from Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson. And to me, it's like, if you're going to look for that sort of opportunity, sometimes you have to be patient, right? And so I think what the Vikings and Raiders are doing is really interesting, because to me, it's sort of like what Alex Smith was in Kansas City, where Alex Smith was a really good quarterback who puts you in a position to compete in the here and now, establish a program and build a roster and buy you time to wait for the right opportunity. So I think that's sort of what Minnesota is doing now with Kirk. And I'm excited to get to talk to him, because he obviously has the relationship with Kevin O'Connell from Washington, and they're going to run the offense that, you know, he came up in and that he played great in Washington. And so I, you know, the way I look at it, he's got a really good team around him. He's got a coach who likes him. He's got a system that he's thrived in the past. And I mean, yeah, of course now, because of his age, the juncture of his career he's at, like, he's fighting for his career, because like all for all that stuff I just said about like buying yourselves time, you don't know when the right opportunity is going to come along. It might be next year, you know, and then he may have to find work somewhere else. So I think he's just at a really interesting juncture of his career. And like where I look at like Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr now is sort of in the same spot Alex Smith once was with the Chiefs.
Did you see the sideline video when they won a game, last second field goal?
Mm-hmm.
And Kirk Cousins pushes Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer pushes him back.
And it looked like.
And then actually, it looked like Mike Zimmer wanted to go after him.
Yeah.
And then you find out that Mike Zimmer.
It didn't look like fun and games.
No. It's like one of those, like, hey, we won. Boom. And then he pushes his quarterback. And then I thought, oh, my God. Like, Zimmer wanted, it looked like he wanted to fight Kirk Cousins after a win.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That thing went sideways, and I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, Zimmer always had his issues with the with quarterbacks. Like, Zimmer, and I love Zim. Like, I he has a little Buddy Ryan to him. You know what I mean? Like, he always had a little Buddy Ryan, like, resenting the offense to him. And if you talk to the offensive coaches, they would tell you, like, how they were restricted in certain ways, because there was a certain formula he wanted to play with, and that would highlight his defense, you know? And Buddy Ryan was always that way. Rex Ryan coached that way to some degree. So I think Zimmer always had that sort of old school, like a little natural resentment of the offense and the quarterback, if it were to get in any way of his defense performing at the level that he thought it could.
I know you went to see.
It's good that I bring up Buddy Ryan, because Buddy Ryan actually punched an important offensive person on the sideline.
Kevin Gilbride.
Kevin Gilbride. Yeah.
Before I let you go, any.
Can you imagine if that happened now?
And then Sue Robinson would have to hear the case. And then
we would be getting a 15-page report on it.
Quickly, the Buffalo Bills, you went to see them. If there's one issue, everybody loves Buffalo. You got any issues with Buffalo?
Punter. I'm not even kidding. Like, when I asked them, I looked at the raw. I mean, it was my first stop. Like, that team looks like it's loaded. I mean, honestly, even like you think about like the running back situation, right? So Singletary and Moss, right? Like, they think James Cook could be like a poor man's version of his brother. So now you're putting him in the backfield with a couple of other good players. like Gabe Davis is up to almost 230 pounds of good weight. Like, looks like he could be a monster. Kyir Elam, you know, like looks like he just, not that he's making plays left and right, but just sort of blended in with the first defense. So there's reason for real optimism in Buffalo. I mean, if Josh Allen can pick up where he left off, and they really think, like, from a leadership standpoint, he hit a turning point at like halftime of the Tampa game. They wind up losing that game, but they came back from way behind. If Josh Allen picks up where he left off, I mean, I don't think I'm speaking out of school to say that could be like a 14-15 win team.
And you go back and look at Josh Allen's rookie stats, they're worse than Zach Wilson.
Go back and look at, honestly, Dan, go back and look at what everybody was saying after that first year about Darnold, about Mayfield, and about Allen. Yeah. I mean, like, I think there are a lot of people, there were people who liked Rosen more than Allen back then after his rookie year. Yeah. So it's like huge credit to Josh Allen, because we don't see that. Like, normally, like after a year, we're not that far off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you read some of the stuff after 18, the stuff people were saying about Josh Allen, I mean, like, I don't know, a cold takes exposed guy probably have a field day with it.
Safe travels. Always great to talk to you. Thank you for your insights.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback. I was one of those people with Josh Allen. There are times I said, I don't know if he knows how to play. I would watch it and I go, he's so raw. Had all this talent, big arm. I just wondered if he understood how to play the game. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and finally it's time for the real season. It's postseason time. Playoff action. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with some same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code DPSHOW. New customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DPSHOW. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save up to $800 on select Sleep Number smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. He used to kick footballs, now he kicks ass. He's Pat McAfee, host of the Pat McAfee Show, along with A.J. Hawk on YouTube and SiriusXM, the former punter for the Colts. More likely to get injured punting or being a combatant in WWE?
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Thanks for always being a trailblazer. You know, I mean, you're such a smooth talking guy and you have such a big brain. Like whenever you did that read for Link Soul before you went to break there, I was on here. I was like, damn, I need that stuff. You know what I mean? Like I was like, damn, I need some Link Soul. And did you say laser fitted some sort of thing in that hole? I'm like, yeah. Damn, I need Link Soul. And then you just cut a promo for Benzo there on the other side. I'm like, oh, I think we need to buy him. You're costing me a lot of money, Dan. It's because of how good you are at your job. So I appreciate the invite. Anytime Fritzy's name pops up on my cell phone, I get excited because obviously we take, great pride in the fact that we're in this daily sports talk world and you're obviously a pioneer of it. So thank you for the invite here. With that being said, almost died a couple times at SummerSlam on Saturday, Dan. That's and I've never almost died punting. So I would go with SummerSlam and WWE as opposed to punting, but both certainly a lot of fun, a blast in high anxiety situations.
But if I talk to you at 12, do you want to be a punter or would you want to be in WWE?
WWE, for sure. I never wanted to be a punter. I mean, obviously, nobody, you fall to punter, Dan. I mean, we all know that. You know, you've never went up to a kid and said, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they say, like astronaut or a cop or a fireman or a baseball player or football player. Nobody goes, I want to be a punter in the NFL. Because if you have dreams or aspirations of being a punter, you probably kick the hell out of a football or a ball. Yeah. So you probably want to be a soccer player, you know? And if you're in a wide receiver or a quarterback or a tight end that inevitably ends up being a punter, that's because your team told you, like, hey, this position ain't going to work for you. You should probably go try fourth downs and punting balls. So at 12, definitely want to be a WWE superstar. My entire life, I wanted to be a WWE superstar. That's really the longest dream I've ever had. Getting to play in the NFL was a massive, massive honor. So thankful for that. But WWE has been the thing that I've wanted my entire life, Dan.
Were you a position player before you became a punter?
No, I was a soccer player. I'd show up on Fridays. I just kind of walk in with the fans. The first game, I had no idea really how to put on my pads. I walked in with our student section because I had a soccer game before it. Walked across the field, had really no idea what was going on. Just started bombing balls like I was the guy Nigel from Replacements. I was very fortunate to grow up in Pittsburgh, a football town. So growing up, I played a lot of football on the streets and backyards and things like that. NFL was my favorite sport to watch, but I was supposed to be a soccer player, and then football just happened after a punt, pass, and kick national championship, and I happen to have a cannon attached to my right hip.
When did it change for you in this business? When did it click that you went from somebody who wanted to do it, you were doing stand-up comedy, like you're trying to figure all this out after your career, but then it clicked. What changed?
I don't know, Dan. Honestly, I have no idea. I think when I was playing in the NFL, I was doing all this stuff. So I had a podcast when I was in the NFL. I did a one stand-up comedy tour with a couple other side shows while I was in the NFL. I had a merch business while I was in the NFL. I was very fortunate to do the Bob and Tom show weekly when I was in the NFL as well. So I kind of got a chance to dabble in a lot of different stuff while I was still playing. And when you're a punter, you're able to do that. You know, there's no addendums going into any punter contracts about watching more film outside of the facility. So with less mental management on the plate for me for being a punter, I was able to do a lot of stuff. And I just started getting real fulfillment from everything I was doing off the field. And I found out that there was a business side to it as well, that I could maybe make some money off the field as well. So once I kind of reset everybody's finances around my family and friends, the NFL, I was super pumped to be there, but I knew that afterwards I was going to enjoy life as well. And I've obviously gotten incredibly lucky with this entire run thus far.
But I remember we had you on after you made your decision. That might've been the Houston Super Bowl. And you said you could still punt, but you were done. Like, how mentally do you get to the point where you go, I'm done with this?
I don't know. It's just like, punting, like you said, whenever you're 12 years old, you think about punting. No, like even in college, I was a kicker first before I was a punter. I became a punter basically out of necessity, and we're doing the rugby punt, which was a roll out to the right, and I was just trying to line drive it as far as possible. We'd be in games, and I have nothing but respect for all the punters in the NFL. I love them. I put them over every single weekend because it's not an easy thing to do. It is a difficult thing to do. You don't really get a chance to bounce back either. If you have a bad rep, you got to go sit on that for like 35 minutes. But in the fourth quarter, you know, you're down 21. Like, a punter can't do anything. Like, I'm just standing there. I'm along for the ride, just like everybody else. In soccer, I was like a point man on basically every team I was on. Even when I was kicking at West Virginia and punting at West Virginia, I was at least in the game. It just got to a point where after 8 years, I got a chance to get really good at the craft. I got to learn a lot. I got to experience great teams and great teammates. And I understand the value of field position in the sport that I've watched my entire life and didn't really fully comprehend. But my brain is super active every day. I'm sitting in there because there's not a lot of film for us to watch as punters. So I'm playing cornhole for like 3 hours in a locker room where everybody else is watching film and doing all that. And my brain is just running with like 1,000 ideas. Like, I should be doing this. I should be doing this. I could be doing this. I could be doing this. And you always think the grass is greener on the other side. You never truly know. So for like 3 years, I contemplated retiring and just kind of attacking life outside of football. And I don't think it was until, you know, kind of took care of everybody. You know, me and the GM didn't get along. He didn't think I was funny. I mean, that was pretty apparent. He did not enjoy me. I was staring down another knee surgery. It just felt like the universe was telling me, Dan, you know, and obviously it could have got to a point where the universe was completely wrong. And I still feel like I could probably go punt for a couple of teams if I wanted to. And that would probably last for at least another few years as I'm almost 40 now. I mean, I'm 35, but damn, I'm getting old, Dan. So I don't know. I felt like the universe told me the timing was right. And I got very fortunate with the team I have. I mean, it was the perfect timing, and I'm very, very fortunate for it all.
He's Pat McAfee, host of the Pat McAfee Show and former Colts punter. What was your reaction? I guess immediate reaction when you heard that Andrew Luck was going to retire.
So I was watching at home just like everybody else. Right. And, I mean, that's what comes out of nowhere. Fourth quarter preseason game. Oh, and then obviously the stadium, there's a couple hundred people in there still who have made it through a preseason game to the fourth quarter, one in which Andrew Luck was not playing, who is our franchise player. So maybe a little boozed up, we could assume. And they boo Andrew on his way out. And I think it was more so booing the situation, not Andrew, because I've never met anybody in Indianapolis that didn't have the utmost respect for Andrew Luck, because I got to see it firsthand. You know, that dude took an ass beating. I mean, just on a regular basis. And it was just his style of play. And he would thank everybody that hit him. And he never got too fired up with people that would obviously blatantly miss blocks for him to get hit. I've always said I thought he was too nice of a guy. The most talented person I think I've ever seen. His brain is so large. You have to use context clues just to kind of keep up with conversations with him, right? I'm an idiot, but that it really felt like that. He was so smart, so incredibly smart, so athletic. He was so good at quarterback. He understood the playbook quicker than anybody else. He had a photographic memory. He's fast. He's tough. He's all these things. I just think his style of play and him not being a mean enough person. Like, I always said, I wish he could watch Peyton for 1 year. If he could have watched Peyton, not that Peyton was mean, but Peyton demanded and commanded respect. And also like, hey, this is a business. This is who I want to do business with. Andrew was still like, hey, I'm a high school college football player at the beginning. You do the coaching, you do the deciding, I'll do the playing. I wish he would have took a little bit more ownership, which I think he did towards the end of his career, which is a natural thing. But I was lucky to watch that guy. And my first reaction whenever he retired was, damn, the league is going to miss him because of how explosive and electrifying he was on the field.
The Kyler Murray story, you got Deshaun Watson story. Like, how do you pick and choose what you dive into and what you don't on your show?
How do you guys do it, Dan? What do you guys do?
I find, and I ask the Danettes, I just say, what are you hot on? Because if we are hot on it, then I think, you know, I can buy into it or vice versa, and then the audience is going to trust you because they tune in already trusting you. And I think that what I want to know is what is something that's really important to somebody here? Because, if you know, we could go down the list and go, is anybody interested in that? Nah. How about that? Nah. Oh, that. And then the room reacts. And then I sort of take, I grab that. That's the baton. And then I take it. And then it's up to me to run the, 4x400.
Well, and you do that very well, by the way. You run the hell out of the thing like a gazelle. But I think that's the right move because you guys are so established in the OGs in this whole thing. You know, you guys are the trendsetters. So Rich Rodriguez gave a motivational speech to our team one time, and he said he wants a team full of thermostats, you know, not thermometers. You know, we set the temperature, we don't tell it. And it was like, it was so profound whenever he said it. And I assume we were getting yelled at for it. But I found that to be like such a profound statement. And I think when we were starting, we were trying to look at what everybody else was talking about. You know, we were trying to watch every other sports talk show who we assumed had better scouts, better producers, more equipped to talk about what we should be talking about. And that lasted, I don't know, probably 4 months, 5 months. And then we got to the point where much like you, we go, all right, what do we want to talk about? You know, and if our conversations are good, like if you build it, they will come is kind of the hopes.
Yeah.
But sometimes we miss some stuff that everybody else is chatting about strictly because we're either too dumb to talk about that particular thing or it literally never came up in our universe and we completely missed it.
Would you use steroids in the WWE to make your body look, you know, like Ultimate Warrior, like, you know, one of those. I mean, I can see you're kind of jacked.
Jacked. Thank you.
Kind of jacked. But, you know, but like an actor, you know, these guys in Hollywood, they'll use performance enhancing drugs. You're an actor with WWE. Would you consider, you're a performer, would you consider steroids?
So they have a whole wellness policy over at the WWE because of, I think, what you are alluding to, where there is, you know, they drug test rather often.
Really?
At the WWE. Yes, they actually do. Now, there's always going to be people that talk about some people maybe aren't getting tested. There's always conspiracy theories about everything, but I've been tested and given my blood to the WWE numerous times. So
now this isn't part of your stand-up act. You're being serious, right? You're not
100% serious.
Okay.
100%, because it was, by the way, there was a lot of things that happened whenever you start injecting your body with stuff and people who are already maybe high energy or very emotional. And then there was some stuff that has happened through the evolution of human and the evolution of WWE, where they have had to put in different rules and evolve, hopefully, you know. And I think the wellness policy is a big one because of all the things that you are kind of, I think, immediately thinking of. Now, with that being said, when I was in the NFL and we'd see a guy walk into the locker room who was obviously on something that the rest of us would not take because of a failed test, there was an immediate chatter out of my brain like, well, as soon as I retire, I'm getting on whatever that guy is on. You know, I'm getting on whatever that person's on. And you'd see somebody come walking in just yoked out of their mind. I'm like, okay, so that's just what you're just drinking protein shakes and stuff. And then I'm like, I'm going to get into that. So I think as I've grown older, I have found two things difficult to find in Indiana where I live. It's not just something you walk up to a corner store and say, hey, I'm looking to look like this guy that walked into the locker room when I was playing.
Yeah.
What do I need to take? And also I think I'm starting to think more about life. You know, I thought I was going to die young for a long time. I was burning that thing from both ends real hard. I think it's well documented. I think everybody knows that. But now that I'm getting older, I'm trying to, you know, take care of myself a little bit. And I don't know if I just want to shove everything that horses take into their bodies into mine. But if science gets to a point where it's healthy and safe and it's not going to kill me too young, I will certainly take something that'll make my metabolism be a little bit quicker like it used to be, my recovery time a little bit. But I haven't dove into those waters just yet, Dan Patrick.
What does your wife say when she sees you on stage, you know, with, you know, kind of showing off your body?
Hey, my wife's sweet, man. We just celebrated our second anniversary yesterday. And thank you. Thank you.
Paulie, you had the under.
Oh, I lost Matt big.
Yeah.
Lost big.
Yeah.
Oh, you aren't the only one, Paul. You aren't the only one. I think, you know, I've always, I don't know, man, I'm just a goer. I always have been, Dan. Just go, 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 go. And I rarely have any beef with anybody because I'm not around long enough to have beef with anybody. I'm normally just in and out. Here we go. What's next? What's next? I've been very driven my entire life. I think anybody that's ever known me would know that I've been trying to become successful literally forever. So I'm always thinking like, what's next? What are we doing? Hey, how are we doing? Let's keep it moving. And my wife is the first person that ever, like, I think tried to be like, hey, you're allowed to like hang out for a bit. Like you're allowed to, like, I'm not just going to let you just walk out of my life. Like this is, so she, I don't want to say she tamed, you know, the stallion here, but she kind of did. She kind of, and she's a super supportive person of me. She understands that I've had these dreams a lot longer than we've ever known each other. So she is fantastic. She is a great cook though. So every once in a while I'll get into good shape. I'll be like taking care of myself. And then I'll come home and there's just like these cinnamon rolls and like these chocolate chip cookies and all this stuff. And I have no discipline. I will dive in there, Dan. So it's a team effort. So I think she's pumped about it all.
Does she ever just say, shut up?
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? I mean, I've been with me for 35 years. I say it to me all the time. I couldn't even imagine what she says. But yeah,
but you have a better body than Peyton Manning's. I think we could agree with that, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. His body took him to a Hall of Fame. I think he's a...
Not his body of work, his body.
Well, I mean, his body is his tool. What are you talking about? Do you
no,
see
his
those...
mind. His mind.
Oh, yeah, but have you... those? Hey, those wobbly balls ain't going to throw themselves, man. What do you think this is? No, quarterbacks, I don't think... And it's kind of changing now with the evolution of offense and what quarterbacks can do. But back in the day, there was a lot of bad body quarterbacks, you know, and they actually...
Like who?
All of them. You basically go through all of them, bad body. I mean, because they wanted to keep their muscles loose, like a basketball shooter or a golfer. Like guys didn't want to get too yoked up because they thought they would mess up their throw. So now it's all of a, it's a little bit of a different game where guys got to take hits. And I think they're getting a little bit more yoked up. But I think Peyton had a solid body and a body of work, obviously.
Yes, he did. It's like Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger, he had big head syndrome.
Go through them all. Any of those pocket quarterbacks probably had a hilarious upper body. I mean, the lower body is going to be strong. Core probably going to have to be strong, right? Because there's a lot of that and, you know, throwing. But normally arms, chest, traps, neck, pretty relaxed. And that's normally how people are judging bodies or not. You know what I mean, Dan?
Give me double gunshot here before we go here. Let's see what we got here.
Let me wake him up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wait, it feels good, man. I'll tell you what. My knees are still sore, though. Knees still sore. I still gain like 25, 30 pounds and lose 25, 30 pounds like every 2-3 months when football season's coming around, just like I'm still playing. But I'm incredibly pumped about where life is, and I can't thank you all enough, honestly.
Hey, congrats. No.
For trailblazing in this world. And also, let's win it. Let's get you guys a damn Emmy. What are we doing? Paul, Fritz, Seton, boys, what the hell is going on over there? How come these shows that are just Johnny come lately, okay? Johnny come lately, childish stuff, are winning Emmys and you guys aren't? What is the deal?
We're the Buffalo Bills of Emmys.
No, you're not, because you guys have a kicker that's going to make the kick.
Oh.
And that happens every single time. I don't understand what the deal is. Is it because you're too handsome, Dan? You think it's because you're too handsome?
Oh, gosh. That's what they've told me that before. You're right. I mean, it's like, you know, you don't want to have a comedian who's good looking. You know?
Not relatable.
Yeah, right?
So you are too handsome for sports talk.
I think so.
Even though your show, how many years have you been doing this?
Well, we've been together 16 years since I left the mothership.
How have you done 16 off seasons? I just got through what, my third one? Oh my God.
There is no off season.
Yes, there is. I was trying to find out what I heard that a jury or a grand jury would indict a ham sandwich. That's what I was told. Okay. I'm trying to learn these legalese stuff. And then for 2-3 weeks, I'm talking about litigation. I have no idea about any. I don't know how you did it, Dan. You're too smart. I'm not smart enough for it all, pal.
Tell AJ I said hello. Congrats again. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always an honor. I will tell AJ, and I'm sure he says hi.
That's Pat McAfee, host of the Pat McAfee Show, co-hosted by AJ Hawk. You can find it on YouTube and Sirius XM. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's rich.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Bridgestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, see their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Eisen, the host of the NFL Network, the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock that follows ours, and he joins us on the program. How's morale, Rich?
Morale's great, Dan. You know, not to pull back the curtain and peel back the layers, but you sat down like 10 seconds before the segment began. That was a very Berman-like move out of you, Dan. Normally you're in place, you're in position, best I can recall from back in the day. I mean, you sat down, headphone on, you did the read.
Yeah.
Thought you were talking about my family being extraordinary, but you were talking about Mercedes-Benz, which I understand. It's your sponsor.
Yeah.
You know, but that's my observations to kick off this conversation.
I would always cut it close on SportsCenter because it was such a long walk from the newsroom all the way over. And inevitably, you'd run into somebody or somebody would hand you something, and I'd sit down. Now, I never got to the point where the music was playing with the SportsCenter theme, but I cut it closer than I needed to. So I still have nightmares about showing up late for SportsCenter.
I have them, too. One of the first times I almost was late was in the very, very, very beginning back in 96 when I come down the stairs from the third floor where you had an office and I had a cubicle. And I come down the stairs to walk to the second floor hallway that gets to the studio. And that's where I first met Craig Kilborn, who asked me if I was the new guy that was on the air. And I'm like, yeah, I was. He goes, that's right. You're doing a lot of my stuff. And then we walked the other way. That's the way I got introduced to the great Craig Kilborn, killer Kilby, Lord Kilby himself. Yeah.
Did it get any better, your relationship with Kilborn, since he accused you of basically plagiarizing?
It did. It went up from there like a rocket ship, Dan. I had him on this show just last month. So, you know, he's still Kilby. He's got a pod now. He's got his pod now, and he's doing great. So, yeah, we're good.
Well, I saw where Keith Olbermann has a podcast now. Craig Kilborn has a podcast now.
Yeah.
And it's the worst thing you can hear. Hey, I've got a podcast. Would you be a guest?
Well, but the answer is yeah. I mean,
I know. But like you would do it. But I had somebody say, hey, I got a podcast and I'm only going to keep you for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I go over and basically I'm sort of in a closet we went an hour. I had to interrupt the person doing a podcast to say, hey, I got to go. And it goes, oh, I thought we were having a great time. Yeah, like I didn't want to be mean or rude, but after 20 minutes, we got to 60 minutes, and I had to say, I got to go.
It's when the host overstays his or her invitation. I don't know what it is, but you can tell, you know, obviously, Dan, you having done your show since the beginning of time, essentially, at ESPN, you can tell when you're interviewing somebody that you've gone a little bit longer than they expected. Their answers get a little bit shorter and clippy, right? I mean, I can feel it. You know, it took me a few years to figure that one out, but I can sense it now.
And
you know?
Sometimes when you're in front of somebody, you can tell. I mean, it's easier. They have a tell, like, I'm kind of done with this. But then when it's on radio or a podcast, you have to listen for that. And I did an interview with David Harbour from Stranger Things, Hopper. Yeah. And he was unbelievable. And then he got to a point where it was around 28 minutes. And the answers got shorter. And then I realized, okay, I gotta wrap this up. So I think I asked one or two more questions. And then that was it. But he gave me the hint because the answers got shorter.
It's the Hopper line. The 28-minute is the Hopper line when things get stranger.
Well, somebody will go, hey, you got a couple of minutes. It's never a couple of minutes, ever. ever.
Yeah,
right?
I'm with him. Yes, I am.
All right, so the commissioner is on the clock here.
Ah, yes.
What do you think the commissioner will and should do?
I think what he should do is double the suspension, because that, I think, puts Watson and I would believe the Players Association in the position of maybe suing. I don't know if they would sue. If he does the full year, I think they end up trying to place this into court. And that's where we can see potentially a restraining order being put in so Watson plays week one. And I don't know if the league wants that to happen. And I think they maybe just double the suspension, make it 12 games. So, you know, Watson can return this year. And it also is a significant suspension, more than the 6 games. Obviously, 6 games is a third of the season, but I'm already seeing players in the league tweeting about, talking about, and I'm hearing what they're saying as well, that 6 games is essentially a vacation for him. It doesn't bite into his salary because of the way that the Browns put his contract together. So it doesn't go the full year, where that would potentially, I think that would absolutely trigger a court case that he'd like to avoid. But outside of all that, that's what I think he should do, because 12 games is significant.
What if he doesn't do anything?
Well, I mean, not doing anything, it would be born out of him trying to show that this process wasn't, if you will, a sham, that this is what was collectively bargained between the players and the judge, and that even though it is his right to jack up the suspension, he won't do it because of the potential criticism that he will not take this process seriously. And I don't think he's going to do that and just leave it the way it is. That's the only reason why he would leave it the way it is, because you saw in the opinion, if you read what the judge wrote, she basically said Watson did it, wasn't remorseful about doing it. But due to the way that things have happened in the past, where the league has moved around what the precedence is for a suspension, because the policy was kind of a mess with the Ray Rice issue. That's even brought up in there, and Brady with the Flategate, that the league has moved the goalposts, if you will, on what's precedence and what's not in the past. And so I think maybe, just maybe, they're pointing out what a mess it used to be to say that precedence is this now. And if the league leaves that precedence, then they're done with the past and they can reset this policy moving forward. I don't think that's what the league's going to do. I think they will up it. Mm. I heard what you said in the previous segment, that you're hearing the hammers being brought down. Doubling the suspension might be the way to kind of thread the needle.
Yeah, I just don't think you could put somebody in place and then all of a sudden say, we don't like what your first ruling is.
Right.
So now we're going to Bigfoot you here. Then the next time this happens, we're like, it just kind of sets a bad precedent. And it feels like everything is precedent here with, hey, this happened to Zeke Elliott. This happened to Ben Roethlisberger. Therefore, the judge came to this. Hey, here's the precedent. You had a ruling and we didn't agree with it. Now we're going to Bigfoot you. It just gets into dangerous territory. I don't like the ruling. Right. I would have suspended him for a year, but I also have to factor in everything she pointed out in her summary here. I'd like, she was fair to the sample size of and the history of everything that's happened here. I don't like it, but I blame the NFL for getting in this position.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it's Deshaun Watson that's put everybody in this position. And so there's the court of public opinion that matters, Dan, because everyone seems to forget that, yes, this is a judge who's deciding this. And yes, this is a collective bargaining agreement that has been hammered out between two sides of a business. And that's what this is. It is a business. This is not a court of law. This wasn't a grand jury. Those are the people that we should potentially take a look at down in Houston as to why, if this was defined per the NFL's collective bargaining agreement's definition of sexual assault, then why didn't that meet the bar legally? What's going on there? This is not the judge and jury and the actual judge and jury. This is the NFL. This is a business, and the court of public opinion matters.
Yeah.
And there are enough consumers pissed off about this that I believe the NFL is going to act.
We're talking to Rich Eisen, NFL Network host and host of the Rich Eisen Show. You can watch that on Peacock following our show. The Nationals are in the process of calling up multiple minor leaguers. I would believe Juan Soto is gonzo. And I'm hearing the Cardinals. I'm hearing the Cardinals, but I don't have any verification on that. I mean, it could be the Padres. I don't know. But I'm wondering if he's going to go to the Cardinals. But that's
well, whoever it is, happening. They better not send him. They better not send him a commercial ticket, right? They should. They better send the jet. Get him,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's as we all know, that's the way you treat Juan Soto. You better send. You better send the jet. You know, you don't put him in first class for the home run derby.
Are you going to be a Rams or Chargers guy this year? Who goes farther?
Oh, the Rams. You know, this is West Coast, or East Coast bias against the West Coast. Dan, what if the Patriots, honestly, take a look at what the Rams did last year.
All right.
And what they did in the offseason. And adding Allen Robinson and adding Bobby Wagner and keeping Aaron Donald in the fold and their coach in the fold. And Cooper Kupp is getting paid. Look at how they have set everything up for their repeat possibility championship season. And just imagine if the Patriots were the team. Just remove the Rams and insert Patriots in that spot. Okay. Insert Giants, insert Cowboys in that spot. The whole country would be descending upon Rams training camp and trying to figure out what's going on. It's just because it's Los Angeles and everybody figured, you know, Stafford, that was a real nice story. Got a TV commercial out of it, you know, a phone deal out of it. Honestly, they've set everything up. They've got the coach, the quarterback, the wide receiver coming off a triple crown season. Cam Akers is more healthy. They've got Wagner behind Donald in front of Ramsey. I mean, they're set. They're set. And the rest of the division appears to have gotten weaker when you assume the Niners are going to start a quarterback that will have even more ups and downs than Jimmy Garoppolo, which is saying a lot. So I will take the Rams. 1,000% in that game.
Yeah, but we haven't had repeaters since the Patriots in 03.
Right. First two seasons of NFL Network, as a matter of fact. Those were the last time. And we're turning 20 next year. So it's been a while. That said, I'm not saying they're going to repeat. You asked which one's going to go further. And I need to see what the Chargers look like. They have made, I'm sure, a Charger fan would counter that they got Khalil Mack and they added J.C. Jackson and it's another year for Justin Herbert. And I do like what they've done and what they can be, but that division I think is much tougher than the NFC West. And I'll take the defending champs in that construct.
I worry. And you know, this since we work in the business, like the mothership last week was all in on the Raiders. They had a day and a half where all they did is talk about the Raiders. And so they're the hot team. I always get nervous with that when somebody's like, they're all in on a team and the Raiders. And then, you know, Derek Carr says, hey, you know, nobody talks about us. I'm going, do you watch ESPN?
Well, I've been on them since March when they got Davante Adams and then signed Chandler Jones. And I called my shot saying that, you know, and I've talked myself into it.
Are they too hot, though, Rich?
Well, I'm taking them to win the division. You know, I'm taking them to win the division.
Wow.
It's so rare to add somebody like Davante Adams. And normally
anybody want a piece of Rich Eisen? Pie to the face.
No pie. No pies. No pies. I knew you were going to go in the pie.
What?
What do you mean?
How about a cake? Not a pie. Cake to the face.
I don't know. A baked good might have more heft to it. I don't know what you're
Fritzy,
talking about.
Yeah, Fritzy.
I think we do a potato knish to the face.
All right,
why don't we do that?
Potato knish.
Very on brand. Very on brand. And if they're eliminated by Hanukkah, it would be perfect timing, right?
Exactly. Like,
so
that would
be, okay, that would so no great. Pie to the face. So you're not.
Come on. I mean, it's a total dartboard shot here because it's the toughest division in football.
All right. What if Fritzy takes the Broncos?
Oh, that'll take.
Okay. Yeah. For a knish to the face. Whatever yes. A knish is.
Okay. Well, it's like a potato, sort of like a potato calzone is the way I would describe it.
Yes,
which that could burn. I'm just saying. It could be pretty hot.
Okay.
You got to be careful with the Kanish.
Okay. So, Fritzy, you got
so we're saying the Broncos will finish better than the Raiders. Is that
a refrigerated Kanish to the face?
Yes.
To make things the safest possible.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Fair enough.
That's fun.
Fair enough.
Absolutely. While the rest of the Dan Patrick and Rich Eisen show staff do the hora around us. We do that, lift us on a chair.
Oh, yeah. You know, that happens now where it's not a Jewish wedding.
Really?
I went to two weddings this summer, and they're sampling because all of a sudden somebody's up on a chair, and I go,
wait,
is he Jewish? And then they go, no. And I go, wait a minute.
That's not cool. You can't sample traditions like that.
That's like the Seinfeld episode where, Tim Watley, the dentist, he became a Jew just so he could tell Jewish jokes. I mean, that's not cool. Like, you can't just take the chair and the hora and
I
say,
agree.
Taking that. You got to take the guilt with it.
I was going to step in on behalf of my Jewish brethren. And I was going to say, hey, get down from there.
Come on.
Yes.
You have, by the way, I give you full rights to do that.
The chutzpah of these mashuganas. And I said, what are we doing?
Yes. Dan, well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rich. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Always. Take care, DP.
That's Rich Eisen, the popular host of the NFL Network and the Rich Eisen Show that follows.
You're being serious? About this wedding thing?
Two weddings this summer. Both had the lift the chair, put the bride and the groom up there on the chairs.
So basically everyone, grabs hands and they get around in a circle. And then you pick up, at least at a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah or at a wedding, you pick them up individually on a chair and you go around in a circle and you play the music. And that's kind of what that's done in the Jewish tradition anyway.
I'm at the waspiest of waspy country clubs.
It was actually called waspy.
I think it's called that. The waspiest of waspy country clubs. And next thing I know, they got the bride and groom up on chairs, dancing around with them. Yeah, Paul.
Was it at Fritzy's son's party? Or I can remember Fritzy being picked up in the air once at some event we were at. I think it was at his son's party.
Yes.
And Fritzy, I've never seen someone look that uncomfortable in their life.
Oh, my God. Well, no, when he was on the mechanical bull.
Look at it. This was worse because Todd was on a small chair and being held up in the air, and he's just, reaching for air, trying to grab it.
And I'm relying on, friends and family to, hold you up, and all of a sudden you feel yourself slipping a little bit, and one's not holding up the leg of the chair properly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.